Okay, a short question. Who prefers to talk in English? Okay, we do it in English. I prepared it in English, so perfect. And let's see if my slides work. Yeah, first, who am I? My name is Gerhard Dorn. I call myself a mathemagician because I try to turn mathematics into fun. My background is mathematics and physics. I did also a lot of teaching at TU Graz. I'm co-founder of a startup called Adventure Studios and Verein called Mint Machine. I will talk a little bit about that later. I'm also ambassador for food sharing in Graz. If you know food sharing, we rescue tons of food in Graz every year. Yesterday, 20 kilograms of lasagna was a lot. I'm also ambassador for Sindbad Graz, and I also work a lot with Julia. Very cool, rather new programming language. I might give a talk next year, and also part of the Graz Universitätstheater, and also doing a lot of Bayesian probability theory stuff. And today I want to talk about open educational resources, game jams, and bringing together teaching and games. And I will start with a backstory about math education. I will then go about what is open educational resource and what are game jams. Then a little bit discussion about games and learning and how to bring them together. And in the end, there's an invitation to the next game jam, which will take place in 2 weeks here at TU Graz, and also some playtesting where I would like you to ask you for your feedback. So we can use this 30 minutes also for interactive playtesting. Backstory. And here is a QR code, and I pose the question, are there problems in math education? And I would like to give you 1 or 2 minutes to think about this. And if you want, you can enter your answer in Feedbacker. This is also a tool developed around TU Graz to enable audience interactions. Very useful also for teaching. And I'm curious about what you think about math education. And I try to switch to the screen.
Sorry, I have a question.
Yes?
Is the question, are there now problems in math education? Or, like, generally?
What's your, from your perspective, so if you see any problems in math education, what are they? So the question was, what was your question again? I should repeat it for the audience.
Like, are there problems in math education, generally speaking?
Yes. The problem was, if I mean problems in math education generally, and yes, and also especially from your perspective, what you experience, especially if you have relatives who struggle with mathematics, or I've read to study at the Technical University because math is a big burden or barrier. And you can also vote for other ideas or feedbacks about this question to vote them up. So we might discuss them first. We already have 12 answers. And I like this tool to also bring your knowledge expertise into the talk. If you're done with entering your questions, just look back at me, then I know when I can continue. I mean, you can also read the questions, but for me, it's a good signal to start. Okay, I might continue. So we have 17 answers. Rank number one was the statement, making people hate the subject instead of making them interested in it. People's different approaches should be recognized and not shamed. then there is, instead of teaching, understanding, memorization is often more important. And I'll take the second, understandable explanations. And also building intuition. Thank you so much for your feedback on Feedbacker. And making people hate the subject also relates to a lot of anxiety. And I will just show you what I did to investigate on that subject. I posed once this question. Imagine you have we have to write a math test next week. How does that feel? And how is math actually, or this is physics, taught at school? It's old school, because if you look at university, it's still blackboard and chalk, and this is one of the problems we investigated. And one question I wanted to ask or answer for myself is, how can we improve math education? You become a teacher and a lecturer and work and teach, actually, and work with kids and students. If you are at TU Graz, you have the choice as a PhD student, you can also teach, but then you have the choice, do I more focus on teaching and research? I had the same fate, and I investigated more on teaching, but if you take the red pill, it's a bit hard to get a job afterwards at TU Graz, because there is no really, let's say, academia which focuses on teaching, but more on the research. So if you want to get a professor, they don't look so much into your teaching expertise as they look in your research field. And it's also, I would say, the red pill means also to really dive, leaving the academia, which is a really nice place, and really look what's going out. So what's the real problem of the students? And this is also a topic which I investigated a lot, is the barrier between school and university. And this is what made me do this project, which is a UNITE project at TU Graz, so still from within, but trying to bring more perspective in. So I will talk about that later. For those people who want to who work at TU Graz and are interested in teaching and don't know what to do afterwards because they did too much teaching and not so much research, we have created a association where we like collect TU Graz teaching experts to think about together what cool technologies can we use to improve teaching in general. So this is new. If you're interested, just contact me. There are some award winners of excellent teaching of TU Graz and a cool network. And another thing which I did was founding a social enterprise. The first two things is you can change educational system from within. The other two is from outside. Just two slides about this social enterprise. It's the question, or the goal is to turn mathematics into a game, into an adventure. This is what I am doing with the game Konomondo, which is funded, which is cool, and that's all about that. The second thing I just want to give as a backstory is this project. I made a trick to use my student status to apply for this project. It's called How Do We Teach Math in Europe? And the idea is, we're not alone. And there are a lot of people, or let's say mathematics is a general language, and all the countries in Europe have to face the same problem. Why not think together about what's the best way to teach? And this is this project and backstory and with this team to I have to make the bridge to Game Jams, which make the Game Jams possible. And what we did is, this is also like to investigate what's the problem. Because if you want to make a game jam to solve a problem, you have to think what's the problem. And what we did is, I will skip most of the slides because maybe that's not so much important. We identified these three problems, wrong expectations. If you're a really good student at school, you have grade A, Einser, you like finish your matura with best grades and you start at university, you fail very often. And you think, what happened? Because you enter a math exercise. Who of you did some analysis course at TU Graz? Okay, how was it? So I heard this nice atmosphere of anxiety, because you get these problems to solve and then you get randomly chosen to present the problem on the blackboard, and you're sitting there and always being afraid of failing in front of the class. There's a missing of failing culture, and what really changed is, so the wrong expectations, you're good at school, but the school changed, you're learning different topics that at university, they don't count anymore. And with Gen Z, like, there's also a lack of social skills. What we see is a reduced attention span and a different way how to perceive the world, more via the mobile phone and not so much by watching a 15-minute Blackboard lecture. So these are the problems. We have the wrong tools to deliver the math content. This is also what you wrote about making people hate the subject instead of making them interested in it. And the question is, how do you relate to people to make it interesting? And I think Blackboard is hard. And this is a game theory diagram where you have difficulty on one axis and skill on the other axis. And for good game design, you balance difficulty and skill to have flow. So game is fun. If it's too difficult, you fall in this anxiety region. And this is what we also experience with a lot of students in first semester. It's too difficult, or let's say the difficulty level is not matching the skills, there's a mismatch. And that's why we also did the math anxiety survey, Theo Graz project, I will skip over it. We investigated with, if you want, you can do it. You have to be quick because I want to skip it. It's 20 questions, how do you feel if you open a math book? And it measures the anxiety of, I will show you the QR code in the end, it's better. If you're interested, you can do it, make it, but let's stay focused and go to games. Just example, skipping those things. So we got 4,000 answers. These are the results if you're interested in. There's also gender bias stuff. There is a problem. And also from a personal experience, I went to a school, I introduced how cool studying in Graz is. I asked the question to 60 students from last grade at gymnasium and asked, who is afraid of mathematics? I had immediately two hands in the air. So it's a thing. And it's also like, for me, mathematics is the gate to a lot of STEM subjects. If you want to do coding, if you want to informatics, and some people say, I have this barrier in the mind, I cannot do it. And we had this answer that there is the need to have different ways to teach or deliver mathematics and also accept different approaches and different perspectives. So let's say a more individualistic approach. So we have different students and they experience, have a different background and have maybe missed probability theory, and you need to, do something about that. My co-founder is teaching in a HTL in Vienna, and he had a student who was very good at everything, but then he failed at like percentage calculation. And then he asked him, why did you fail? And he said, what's the problem? I think you can do it. And he said, I was sick, I had corona 3 weeks, and I missed the subject. And so you have these individual deficiencies in your knowledge, which we have to take account for. And in the educational system, we have two major problems, which is going from middle school to higher school and going from high school to university. We have this friction barriers in the educational system. We lose a lot of people. So the goal is to use something to improve that. And now this is the step how we can improve education in general and especially in mathematics, which is open educational resource and game jam. What is open education? A open educational resource, it's the idea to share the teaching material, which is sometimes very hard to create. You have to write lecture notes, you have to write, sketches, diagrams, LaTeX figures. It's a lot of work. But if it's protected with copyright and stuff like that, or even the school books, you cannot reuse it or adapt it. The idea of open educational resources, you license it in MIT for software, MIT license, or CC BY Creative Commons, to enable other lecturers to modify it, to improve it, to give feedback to this. And we want to do the same thing with games. And what is a jam? You jam sessions. So you sit together and somebody is playing the guitar, somebody is playing a trumpet or the piano, and you co-create something. And this is, you can also take other things which is already there and reinterpret it. And with open educational resources, this is very cool for games as well. You can use old material and can create new stuff. So this is the vision. And here's an example. At Theo Graz, there is a very, let's say, good ecosystem for open educational resource. There's Martin Ebner, who is head of the Department of Teaching Technologies, who, is also in the back of iMOOCs. iMOOCs is the Austrian platform for massive open online course, short is MOOC. And this is also how I also got into this thing. I created a MOOC. And all the things which you see in two clicks are free to use. So it's a story about, it's about probability theory, but it's an adventure with Captain Base and her crew to solve riddles in probability theory. And it looks like a game. It's like Monkey Island, and you have an island, this is Gauss Island or Turtle Island, and there are, you have to separate sets, you can do support vector machines, beginning of machine learning stuff, and you can use the art style, you can use also the video clippets for free. Just contact the creators. This is the spirit of open educational resource. Can I switch to the browser to show you the course? Just check which. I have to move. Okay. I cannot find my mouse. Here it is. Yes. If you don't know this platform, there are this is the Austrian free massive open online course platform. You can learn about hiking, climbing, cooking, or really hard science stuff. And this is the course I created. You reach 800 participants, and there's a lot more. You just have to register. Maybe that's the only barrier. iMOOCs, check it out. Let's switch back. Okay. We worked a lot with story. This is also a way how to approach students and also bridge the gap between I don't understand anything and make it more easy, make it more digestible is to tell a story. Okay, what is an open educational resource game jam? So it's to create game, to make STEM more fun. This is our purpose. And to use it with free MIT licensed or CC BY licensed assets. The outcome can also be integrated in such MOOCs to make them more engaging. Because if you have just a dry, open online course, on average, 80 people do not finish, which is a very bad ratio. And it's not so cool to work just in front of a computer. You need more interaction. Games are good for that. The game jam is, as I said, you use existing things and existing games and recreate them. That's the platform I talked about. I'll give you some example of the first game jam we did in Vienna last year. And this is the participants. What is the game jam? You bring together people who can code, can create games, do art, do sound, music, visuals, writing story, content, and work in 48 hours to create a new thing. And it's really strict, you have to finish. The product might not be that good, and you have to reduce features, but in this short period of time, the cool thing is you really make advance, because you can always be perfectionist and you have to put that away and you really finish with a game. This is like crunch time in a very nice environment. So we also had a mentor from game industry, Michael Hengst, and this is what our game jam looked like. So we created four games. One was called Math Tinder. I'll just show you how it works. You have to decide, is it smaller or larger, and swiping left, right, or equal? A very simple approach. The next one is Math Odyssey, which you can play later. You have to fight math symbols by shooting with a functional laser on them. And in one version, you have to find the right function or using tuning the parameters of the function to really match as many math symbols as possible, and then you have a score, which is your math confidential score, so how confident you are with math with this function. And then if you approve with one function, you get the next one, like a sign, and you have to change the frequency and so on. Then, what else? Corn Cycle Commander, counting the area. So imagine you're an alien commander, and you have to tell your aliens, you have to make crop or corn cycles on Earth, and they have to have a special area, and some fail, and you have to see which of your aliens are working correctly. Counting. Edgelord is also nice. Edgelord is, you have to find the missing edge. The missing edge is purple, and you know the blue edges and also the angles, and it looks like you can select edges, and then you have choices, like Pythagoras, good job. And this is, you don't have to actually calculate, but the learning is you have to just think about which theorem to use. Is it Pythagoras? Is it sine theorem? Is this tangent? Here also know an angle. You can also select angle and here, sine, cosine, tangent, what is the hypotenuses, what is the, I don't know the English word, which catheten? Yeah, a very nice puzzle game, which helps you to remember what is sine, what is cosine. Also, rules about angles, and this is like equality, the only selection. Like, and these games came into existence just in 48 hours. This is the cool thing about the game jam. Last game, Math Wizard. It's a jump and run adventure where you have to, I will talk about that in two slides. You're fighting monsters by solving a fraction. So some gameplays might not be that intuitive. Why do I have to, why is this fighting the monster? I don't know. So the story is missing to some extent. It's a bit brutal just to put math onto a game. Doesn't work, or it's not so smooth. Let's put it that way. Okay, this brings me to games and learning. How can we fuse those two things? And what I learned in the last two game jams, which we did, it's a discussion. On the one hand, you have the question, is it fun? On the other hand, is it didactically valuable? You can create a shooter, which is super cool, but what do you learn, actually? And it's like, I really like this image. It's like chocolate-dripped broccoli. So you want to make children eat broccoli, and you drip it in chocolate. And you say, for example, there are games out there, and there's also the word gamified versus game. Game, what is a real game? It makes fun, and it's you don't feel forced to learn something. There are some other educational games where you have to do something, then you get some strange coins, and then you can play. There's this Anton app, which is actually, it's a good thing because it motivates students to do it. But Manif played it and said, yeah, I just play the easy games because it doesn't matter which difficulty I play, I get coins and then I just play the fun thing. So they combined, I have to do some work and then I get coins and then I play something fun. It's not so straightforward. And we have these two words. We have game design, what makes it funny, and we have what makes it educationally valuable. And here is some things you can consider about game design. Streak, who is playing Duolingo? Who played it for more than 100 days? Okay, I know people like 2,000 days and they say they will never quit because the streak is so important and they put so much effort into it. But how good are you in Spanish? It helps you to memorize vocabularies, but it helps you just to a certain point. And it's very interesting to see how this mechanic works. Streak, then planning. Today was an article about some game research. Minecraft, you have like a lot of boxes and you have to find vegetables or some fruits. They were hidden. And you could see they were like on a regular pattern and you crash the one block, then the next go to the next block. And planning means if I cannot find something in the first block, I go to the second. I see it already. Planning is also if you have a skill tree and to see if I do that and that, I will get that skill, and after that skill, I can reach that and that badge and so on. This is about planning. It's very important, and this is also a lot of time missing in lectures and education. They don't tell you what you will learn in a lecture. They don't tell you what you will do next week or in 2 weeks. And if you have a good lecture prepares like that, you have a plan, like a roadmap. In November, we will do eigenvalues. In December, we will use it to solve, I don't know, some mechanical problem. Instant gratification, super useful. Loot boxes, crafting, think of Minecraft. Uselessness. So this is one definition I really like about games. They should be useless. You shouldn't be pushed or forced to do something, and you should allow players to do random stuff. If they want to go fishing, and fishing is not bringing you forward in the quest, okay, you can do fishing. This is an important thing, which is the difference between gamified and game. In gamified, you don't have uselessness a lot of times. Story. Do you have any questions to game design? The next slide is on education design. 1 minute. Ah, I'm super slow. The other things is problem-based. It should be reasonable. It should be understandable. Skill-focused. A lot of things. I have to skip that because I overlooked time, and I just want to invite you to the next game jam where you can experience all this on your own. We have free food. This is the schedule. We start Friday evening and finish on Sunday. And if you are interested in how to create game with didactical valuable, just join us. And those are the games which I can show you later. And the left QR code is more information about the Open Educational Resource Game Jam, taking place in 2 weeks. Do I have minutes for questions? 5 minutes. Good. Sorry, I was too slow to let you actually play. Thank you. Could you show the QR code again, just so for those who want to have the links? And if you want to play some games, just go to this page, adventurestudios.itch.io. You can play all the games for free.
Hello, Gerhard. You mentioned Duolingo. Yeah. And I asked myself, do you know of any games that are like Duolingo but for math? So you have several topics, and then people can make their streaks and compete with each other point-wise?
I think Duolingo is doing that. They have a math option as well, but I'm not sure how good it works.
First of all, thank you so much. It was really interesting. Thank you for your presentation. I have a question concerning, I have actually two questions. The first question is concerning the age group.
Yeah.
Is there like, do you have like a target age group, or is that something?
We see most dropouts in the educational system at the age of 14 to 15. So you have to finish like middle school, and then you think, do I do an apprenticeship or do I go in high school? This is the first barrier in the educational system. The second is entering university, and we focus on both barriers. So 14, 15, and 18, 19, also maybe first year of studying at the university.
Okay, thank you. And the second question that I have is, because we spoke briefly about Duolingo, how do you cope with mistakes? Because Duolingo does have a lot of mistakes within the system. Grammatical is also vocab. How do you
Good
deal
question.
With that?
The idea is to make every player to be a co-creator. So let's say a collaborative game. You can create your own game, and at some point you get so good points, then you become an expert and you can correct others. Uh-huh. And we have tutors who are also doing the first work, and then later on everybody should be allowed to co-create, creating questions.
Awesome.
Just think about you have a door and you can close it for others, putting a riddle, and then the others have to open, solve the riddle to go behind. It's a cool multiplayer feature.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Time for one more question. If you want more information, I'm around. Just contact me. Thank you.